Michael Theophilus, from what book can you guess? From Luke, which is dedicated to Theophilus. And then he went through some of the backstory of that time. And I want to not so much center on the traditional, but out of the Christian, out of the Christmas narrative, I want to bring some thoughts. Mark and John are people after my own heart because they get down to the bottom line. Many times Liz will be telling this story with a lot of detail, and I just want to say to her, give me the bottom line. I want to know what where this is going, this story. And she relates all the colorful details and how the people looked, the journey, and I'm waiting impatiently for the bottom line. And sometimes I get into trouble myself. I tell a story, and I tell the bottom line, and. And one of my kids say, "Wait a minute! You got to tell them what happened to lead up to that." But I guess that's just a guy thing. But Markin goes that doesn't even tell the story. In fact, the only thing he talks about the birth of Jesus is the Lord's. You might say his second birth, and that took place in Mark chapter 1, and it talks about him going to the Jordan River and to be baptized of John. And so, well, skipping the first birth, he focuses on the second birth and the voice that came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And that whole glorious impartation and anointing for ministry and commissioning to a work that Jesus would accomplish. And in John, well, not a synoptic gospel, is a unique gospel. But he goes right after. He's one of those bottom line persons as well, and he goes passes the narrative of the birth and the magi and the manger and all that, and he goes right in to say, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So he goes right to the message of the gospel. But in Luke, the thing I wanted to focus on for a few moments what was the journey. I talked earlier about people's testimony and the journey that they go through. Sometimes it's just important or even more important for us to learn from someone's journey and not always the glorious conclusion, because sometimes we learn more that way. And when Mary conceived of the Holy Spirit, decided to visit her cousin Elizabeth in the hill country of Judea, well, we all know that Ankerem is set apart as being the place where Elizabeth and Zechariah lived. But I don't think that there's any archaeological proof of that, but anyway, it's in the hill country of Judea. And it's important as we go through the journey of life that we pick our friends well. And when the thing that happened to Mary dawned on her, she wanted to get with some other woman of faith that would inspire her, that would not put her down. And she, of course, thought of her relative Elizabeth. It's important that we don't spend, unless we can lift those people up, and some people refuse to be lifted up, they would rather drag us down. It's important to get to those people that will encourage and have an atmosphere of faith, because God has given us all dreams that He wants to yet accomplish in our lives. And we have to be careful with that dream that's in embryo condition in our spiritual womb. And Elizabeth was that kind of person to encourage her cousin. And it says, in those days Mary rose in those days and went to the hill country in haste to the city of Judah. Verse 41. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. When we get with the people and we share our vision with them of what the Lord has imparted to us, it's important that they give a response of encouragement, and instead of just a dead, flat response, it says that her baby leaped, her baby bounced. And unless we're getting bounce from the people we're for with, or are with and befriend, we should pick people who will encourage us and lead us along in the way of the Lord. And it says that she spent 3 months with Elizabeth here, somewhere in this region around Jerusalem. And in that time, I'm sure she's got a lot of building up in faith, atmosphere of encouragement for the challenges that she would yet face, the ridicule, the stigma of being an unconceiving and unwed state, and she, I'm sure for good reason she used that 3 months to build up her faith, to build up her stamina, to have the wherewithal to face the future. In those days, women used to collect water from the well, and just like the woman whom Jesus met at the well, she came at a different time than the usual communal time when women go to the well, because it was a time to catch up on news and events of the day. But the woman at the well came at a separate time, because she couldn't stand the glaring eyes and the gossip, I'm sure, that was rife and concerning her marital condition. And so I'm sure that Mary, as she knew her baby was beginning to show, her pregnancy was more and more pronounced, she chose to spend that time with her cousin. So as we journey through life, let's guard that vision that the Lord has placed in us, and because I believe He wants to yet bring that vision to pass. And let's stay with people who will lift us up and encourage us along the way and not be disheartened and dissuaded by those who would criticize us and bring us down. We need to be in an atmosphere of faith for the troubled times we live in. I'm going to ask Liz to come and share a story about Christmas.
Those of you that were here a couple of weeks ago heard me relate a bit about our trip to Niger, where this little orphan baby is in the process of being adopted by our daughter Julie and son-in-law Josh. As we were embarking on this trip, I was concerned that of a number of details, and they were weighing on my mind as we were standing in the airport watching the luggage rack go round and around and around and around hundreds of times and waiting for our luggage to come off. And it dawned on me, I told Chuck, I said, you know, we got this accordion, this hand luggage that we got miraculously just before we left. Within 24 hours, someone answered an email when we put out an email that we needed a small accordion, not the large one that I have, which would have taken up all my luggage allowance. And within 24 hours, we got this beautiful small accordion to take to Niger and play for the children at the orphanage, at the hospital. And as we were watching the luggage go, waiting for the luggage, and on this rack, there was a bit of trash left over from the last group, and there was a broken piece of luggage, like the strap, broken strap, was going round and round and round. I told Chuck, I wish we had a piece of rope to tie this accordion to our hand luggage, because it's going to be really difficult running through these airports, with everything that we have to carry, and we're not going to make it. And we kept looking at that piece, and Chuck finally pulled it off the rack, and this was it. And it perfectly fit my accordion to my handpiece of luggage. And the part I don't need is broken, but the part that worked is perfectly fine. And it's the same color as my accordion box. And it was amazing to me. When we got to Niger and Josh and Julie were faced with the difficulty of getting this adoption process, and they were already falling in love with baby Leon, whose name backwards is Noel. And there were a lot of tears and anxieties and fears, and will it ever happen? The director of the orphanage is notorious for backing down and making things complicated and impossible. And I remember this strap. Said, Julie, if God cares about a strap for an accordion, even the color, don't you think he cares about the details of that baby? 3 days before we left Niger, we got to hold that baby, and it came to live with them in their home. And so my gift to the Lord this Christmas is my heart full of thanks and praise for the amazing attention to detail that he gives. And he cares about, if he cares about every little thing like this, how much more does he care about everything we face? And
the portable luggage.
Right, it's strapped, the fit exactly to the hand luggage with the wheels that we carried, so it became one piece rather than two extra pieces. So my heart is absolutely filled with thanks and praise to the Lord today. And thank you for praying. And please continue praying for baby Leon. This show and tell is going a little further than I expected. I have to say this accordion brought countless joy to the children in the hospital. Not only did they get to hear music and watch me play it, but I would let them touch the buttons and the keys on both sides, and this was incredibly fun to watch them light up with amazing smiles. So join me in singing, "O Come, Let Us Adore Him."
The question I would leave with all of us here today, I know there might be some that would only visit a house of prayer one time a year, and that would be on Christmas time. That if you haven't yet made this one who humbled himself to become a babe and live a life that he would fully identify with us and know what we go through. Not an ivory tower type of personality, but someone that was born into difficult circumstances and had to be fed and burped and cleaned, bathed, cleaned periodically, so that he would know our sickness and our limitations, and that's the one we serve today. We're here in his presence, and we believe that the Lord is, by his Spirit, communicating his love to you now. And we call on all of on everyone here to rededicate their lives to his purposes. And he has sown in our hearts the dreams and aspirations that are of him. And let's believe that he will fulfill those dreams. And that we'll know his perfect peace and grace in that process. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we know that whom we have believed and served, the risen Christ, that came and became incarnated in a body, and he lived and died and rose again for our salvation. We trust that you will lift the blinders and the veil that separates so many from that truth and that reality. We bless you and thank you that you're here to make yourself real to each one who calls on the name of the Lord, and you promise they will be delivered. Lord, we pray that for that one that has been given a dream, a deposit of your Spirit in their heart, and they've been discouraged because they don't see that dream coming to pass. They don't see how that could ever be fulfilled. But Lord, we pray that they will take heart today, and that they will know that you want to yet fulfill your word to them. And so Lord, help us to, as a community, to surround that person with encouragement, with faith, with hope, with a push, with a pat on the shoulder, a hug, whatever it takes to help them realize the dream that you placed in their heart. That most of all, that you would be born in each one's heart today. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you want to make an announcement about the... Okay.
We would like everybody to join us in outside in the foyer. We have a beautiful cake, Christmas cake, purchased in Bethlehem, made by the Handel Bakery. So please join us, and the kids, I guess, are going to lead the way.
And all the kids have to go to the living room because they get a special gift for Christmas.
You're dismissed.